This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Halloween to all of the listeners out there. I hope you're having a super spooky day. And you know what I'm really happy about is that I think the weather is going to be very nice for the trick-or-treaters. And I'm happy for their parents because I have to envision there's nothing worse than going around the neighborhood when it's raining with a bunch of kids for hours. So happy for everyone that you're going to enjoy a nice Halloween night. Be safe. Have a lot of fun. Eat a lot of candy. And we have a lot to talk about today. The weekend was pretty jam-packed. This was not one of those weekends where I was trying to stay off Twitter. I don't think I'm going to have one of those for quite some time, ever since Elon Satan or whatever they... Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Elon Stalin or Satan? I get it confused now.
Elon Stalin.
Stalin. I'm sorry about that. I hope he forgives me. Ever since
it's run to Satanists.
Oh, I get them all confused.
Death Satanists or whatever.
They're so clever. I get it all mixed up. Yeah, but ever since Elon Musk took over, it's been very entertaining. And I said that last week, you know, that do I think he's perfect? No, nobody is. Do I think he's going to make all the right decisions in regards to Twitter? Probably not. But am I on board for the entertaining content? Hell yeah. Liking it so far. Now, let's talk about the story that we definitely covered on Friday. We know a little bit more information now. Not a lot more. You'd think we know a lot more of these details heading into a new week, but still a lot of confusing aspects to Paul Pelosi's Friday early morning attack. Now, since then, since this news broke on Friday, there have been a lot of reports, a lot of conflicting reports, things that have been walked back or changed. And I would say that as of right now, a lot of people have more questions than they do answers. So Politico wrote at one point that there was a third person that let police in. Now NBC is saying that there was not. There was also a report that he referred, that would be Paul Pelosi referred to the intruder when he was on the phone with the police as a friend. That would be David DePape, who is, if you haven't looked into his background at all, I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle described him as a hemp jewelry maker in 2013. He's like an ex-nudist activist and all around nutcase based off his ex-partner, who's now in prison. She said that he is mentally ill. Now, we are getting info that Paul did not know this man prior to the intrusion. And although it's still confusing how he entered the property, why there wasn't more security, whereas if there's any body cam footage, all of those questions I think are very valid. And I want to say something here because this is something that's really infuriating me. I don't consider asking questions partaking in conspiracy theories. I actually consider it the job of journalists. And since they've seemed to have given that up a long time ago, it makes sense that people online ask basic questions when they see a story like this. And I don't want to tie that in with, ooh, the dark webs of the internet. No, a man breaks into his house. He's like, what, one of the third most important or most high-ranking families in the nation. And there's not more security. There's not footage of this. It makes sense that people have questions. Now, if you have questions, just let it be known that you will be considered a conspiracy theorist by the mainstream media. Over the weekend, though, and this is what I really want to focus on, the left tried to pin the actions of this deranged ex-nudist activist slash hemp jewelry maker on MAGA Republicans.
MAGA.
And I knew this was going to happen, like Friday, right as the news broke about the hammer and all this stuff. And I said it on Friday. I'll say it again in case anyone out there is listening and needs some reassurance here. I condemn. I'm not going to call it political violence because I don't consider this political at all. The guy was a nut. Let's stop trying to tie nuts to politics. I condemn violence always. And I feel for Paul Pelosi and I hope he gets better. And if anyone's listening to this, there you go. Okay, I'm not going to say it 400 times today because I've said it before, but I will say it right now. I condemn violence, and all Republicans do. I was on Twitter this weekend. You couldn't find a Republican who didn't condemn this. Ben Shapiro, Jack Posobiec, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. I was going on everyone's account, just checking. Steve Scalise, people who know a little something about violence, were all the first ones to say this is a horrible thing and this should not happen. Now, what Democrats did over the weekend is one of their more predictable tactics, and that is they tried to exploit this. They tried to exploit this really unfortunate incident for Paul Pelosi, this unfortunate assault. They tried to exploit it for their political benefit. And I'm talking specifically now about Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Rob Reiner, Margaret Brennan. The list goes on and on. So they're trying to connect this San Francisco man to the actions of this man to Republicans. And what's even more absurd is this idea that it's the fault of Republicans for running ads about Nancy Pelosi, for running ads about the Speaker of the House. Now, if that is the case, and I'm just trying to use logic here, no one's getting angry, we're just using logic. If that is the case, if one political party focusing on another politician, because I heard Margaret Brennan say this, like, why not focus on the politics? Why not focus on the ideas instead of the people? All these Democrats, they get real civil when something happens like this, unless it happens to a Republican, and then they just move on with their lives. But she said, you know, why not focus on the ideas? Why focus on the politicians? So if I'm following this correctly, if one political party focusing on a politician is akin to like aiding and abetting violence, does that mean that the left at some point is going to tamp down their obsession with Donald J. Trump? Because I don't think there's any person who has been more roundly vilified by a group of people than Donald Trump. And if this is the new litmus test for like being a good person is, oh, you can't call out a politician. You have to just call out the ideas. Then I would like to tell people that you have the liberals have a lot of explaining to do. Of course, that's not going to be a problem for them. Now, I know people will say, Grace, this is whataboutism. You know, we're talking about Nancy Pelosi's husband and you're bringing up all these. I don't consider it whataboutism. I consider it calling out hypocrisy and reminding people that they don't have a leg to stand on in this situation. Because when a man ran out to the congressional baseball practice and shot and nearly killed Steve Scalise, you know what I didn't say? I didn't say, well, the guy was a Bernie Sanders supporter. So this is because of all the times Bernie Sanders has demonized Republicans. No, of course I wouldn't say that. I'm not insane. And really expecting, if I were to say that, I'd expect my listeners to be complete dummies, which does make sense for the left because they think the crowd they're playing to is like moronic zombies. So it makes sense that they think this is going to fly. Now, how about this? When Rand Paul's neighbor attacked him and broke six of his ribs, and Casey Hunt said it was one of her favorite stories when she was on MSNBC, and Nancy Pelosi's daughter said Rand Paul's neighbor was right. I don't remember Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation melting down over civility. I don't remember her asking anyone to tamp down the rhetoric. Or better yet, I don't remember her asking Democrats to delete their campaign ads, to stop running campaign ads because of what happened to Rand Paul. Now, how about this one? If you're saying, oh, Grace, those are way too far back. That's 2017. That's like a lifetime ago. Okay. Well, how about after months of Democrats like AOC and Elizabeth Warren fear-mongering about the Supreme Court decisions, a nut shows up down the street from the house of Brett Kavanaugh with plans to assassinate him. I don't remember Jen Psaki linking that to her boss's rhetoric. And in fact, I don't remember the media spending more than a few hours on that story. So my point in all of this, and I encourage you to use this same mentality if you run across liberals like this, save it. Like, just save it. Save the attempted guilt tripping. It's not working. It's just not. No one is responsible for what happened to Paul Pelosi except for David DePape. And I hope he is fully punished. I hope he's punished to the fullest extent of the law. But don't try to blame me. Don't try to blame Trump supporters. Don't try to blame Ben Shapiro or Jack Posobiec or Ted Cruz or Elon Musk. Start holding people responsible for their actions and stop trying to shift accountability to people who have zero to do with it. We're not going to talk about this all day. Oh, and one other thing I want to say. Joe Biden said, well, this makes sense. He just goes off, you know, but he was saying, like, oh, this is what happens when people are denying elections. So denying elections is, we're supposed to believe that that causes political violence. Well, in that case, does Stacey Abrams have to answer for political violence? Does Hillary Clinton? Does Jamie Raskin? No. Does Karine Jean-Pierre? Does Joe Biden's own press secretary, does she have to issue a statement apologizing for this violence? This idea that if you disagree with Democrats and then something in the world goes wrong and you're going to be blamed for it is absolutely absurd. And you know what it really is? It's desperate. It reeks of desperation. And when you look at the poll numbers, when you look at what's happening in Georgia, when you look at what's happening in all of these states that were supposed to be, you know, in the bag for Democrats, and they're not, you understand why they're so desperate. You understand why they're sending out Barack Obama to spin this narrative that they're the victims of evil Republican hate. It is such BS. Even for them, I would say it goes beyond the pale of BS. We have a lot to talk about today. I do want to follow up again. Like I said, a lot of races to look at. There's some interesting races happening in Virginia. I want to talk about some updates on the Georgia governor's race. Obviously, Herschel Walker in the Senate race, that's looking really good lately. A lot of new polls came out on that. A lot to discuss in regards to Elon Musk. You know he's doing something right when Jimmy Kimmel hates him. When Jimmy Kimmel hates you, man, it's just a sure sign that you are on the right track. And as far as calls go for today, I would love to take your calls. I will say, I know people have questions about the Pelosi attack. I don't want to do too much speculation. If we could leave that for the internet, we are going to find out more, hopefully, as time goes on. I would prefer to discuss how the left is trying to turn this into another January 6th example and how it's not going to work. 844-500-4242. A lot to talk about today. Call in. Let's discuss. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise.
I did not dress up this year. I was going to dress up. But you know, it's really, you can't win. I was watching a clip from Bill Maher and he was talking about all the costumes that are canceled. And there's some good costumes you're not allowed to be anymore. You can't be Elvis Presley anymore. There's just so many things that the woke mob are saying are no longer allowed.
Wait, why can't you be Elvis now?
Because when he was first with Lisa Marie, is that her name? No, I'm sorry, that's his daughter. Priscilla. When he was first with Priscilla, she was young. She was like 14, 15. She was too young for him. So that's why you can't be Elvis. That's what I've gathered from watching a cut from Bill Maher. But Halloween, you know what I'm surprised by, though, Jared, is how many adults do dress up for Halloween. Like, I don't remember when I was younger, my parents going to that many Halloween parties. But kids my age, when I go on Instagram, everyone goes to like two or three of these parties. It's got to get pricey.
It's an entire season. When I was out in L.A., there were a lot of Halloween parties.
And people go all out. I mean, kudos. I give you credit. But it just feels like a lot of work to me. I will be handing out candy, though, to trick-or-treaters today. 844-500-4242. That actually brings us to our Halloween-themed poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. It's a really good time to get in contact with them. I was just having this conversation with friends yesterday. The housing market is very strange right now. It's a little tricky to navigate. So if you want to learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Halloween candy's bad rap is least deserved? Black licorice, candy corn, circus peanuts, or Necco wafers?
I'll say candy corn because the rest of them I would not eat if you paid me. The circus peanuts, those are like the styrofoam things.
Yeah, the orange.
Those are disgusting. Yeah. Those are absolutely disgusting. Necco wafers are disgusting. I can't say I know exactly what black licorice tastes like. I think I have an idea.
It tastes like if you've ever had anise seasoning.
Yeah, so no, I would. I take a candy corn over that.
Ouzo, I think, also the Greek alcohol is like that. Candy corn is at 33%. That is in second place. First place goes to black licorice at 35%, 23% for Necco wafers, and just 10% believe circus peanuts have a least deserved bad rap.
If I met someone whose favorite candy was circus peanuts, I'd have to assume that something was terribly wrong because I've never seen anyone actually purchase those. I've seen them at like a gas station before. But if you ever bought those for a road trip or something, you imagine someone shows up, they're like, guys, look what I brought. I would be horrified.
They look like some weird something from like a trick hobby shop from the 70s or something.
Ugh, yuck. All right, now what I want to talk about here, and someone actually just asked me this on the text line. I do read the text, just so you know, the number is 617-213-1066. Someone asked me, Grace, will you pay $20 if you have to pay for your verified blue check? If you haven't heard about this, Elon Musk was making quite the controversy this weekend for several different reasons. One is he retweeted a story about Paul Pelosi that I think since has been debunked, but he retweeted it towards Hillary Clinton and said, you know, there might be more to this story than meets the eye. Everyone was very mad at him about that for spreading disinformation. So everyone was melting down. But the other part of the story is that according to some reports, Twitter is thinking about charging people who have a blue check, which is the verified sign on Twitter, $20 a month if they want to keep it. Now, I've been thinking about this, and people ask me, they say, Grace, would you pay $20? I honestly think I would not. And here's why. I've been verified, and I've not been verified. And being verified definitely has its perks. Like, if I reach out to someone who also is verified, I know they're going to see it, which is cool. But in general, it's hard when you have something for free and then people try to charge you for it. It's hard to like justify it in your head. $20 a month, that kind of adds up, Jared. That's like, you know, it's a good bit of gas. That's me getting my nails done.
Yeah, you got to be frugal in these times of high energy prices. And, you know, you got to cut back because of inflation. I understand that.
Yeah, it says, if you already have a blue check mark, Twitter is currently planning to remove it from your profile after 90 days if you don't subscribe to the more expensive blue subscription after it launches. I don't think I will do this. I'd be curious if Howie will do it. He might, but it feels like I just go back to being regular. There's perks to being regular, too. Like one time I tweeted about Eric Swalwell when I was a blue check, and then he followed me. And it's like, that's the kind of thing that happens if you have a blue check. Whereas if you don't, you can kind of go under the radar.
Did he read the tweet?
I have no idea. But I was like, oh, no. 844-500-4242. We have a lot to discuss about the midterms when we come back, and we'll keep talking about this Paul Pelosi story. Don't go anywhere and call in. We'll take your calls after the break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, I really wish that political figures and celebrities wouldn't keep toying with my emotions. They constantly say things like, if Donald Trump wins, I'm going to move to Canada. if Elon Musk's take over Twitter, I'm gonna delete my account. And then they don't do it. And the perfect example is Howard Dean. I read you guys the tweets on Friday where he was again saying, hello, Twitterverse. I have to leave here now because Elon Musk is taking over. I checked his Twitter account over the weekend. Still there. Still explaining to people why he's leaving. I checked it 30 seconds ago. Still there. What's the deal, bro? You said you were going to delete your Twitter. Delete it. Don't make promises you can't keep. Because some of us were really looking forward to that. And I heard that some celebrities, my mom called me this morning and said, Sarah Bareilles, the singer, is deleting her Twitter. Oh, and I'm sure everyone is just so bummed out. And it's nothing against like anybody. If you want to delete it, go ahead. It's nothing against Sarah Bareilles or Howard Dean. But there's this level of arrogance that you think that people's worlds are going to collapse if they find out you're leaving this platform. What am I going to do without my tweets from Howard Dean? How am I going to form my own political opinions without Howard's wisdom and guidance in these difficult times? And the truth is, nobody cares. Everybody moves on. And guess what? I say the same thing about myself. If I deleted my Twitter, Jared, there would not be this giant outcry of people that wouldn't move on with their lives. Everyone has like this idea that they're so important. You put out a couple pithy tweets every day. You know, it's not brain surgery. You're not changing lives. Trump left Twitter. And I thought that would be the end of Twitter. And guess what? Twitter's still rolling. And I think Trump was way more entertaining than Howard Dean or Sarah Bareilles. And we all seem to be able to cope either way. All right, now going back to this Paul Pelosi saga, I wanted to give you a couple of reactions from the mainstream media. One that drove me really crazy was Bill Kristol. You know that principled conservative Bill Kristol? He tweeted out, it seems amazingly difficult for the MAGA right simply to say the following five words. We are against political violence. The reason that this tweet bothers me is because
MAGA.
Who are you talking about? Like, who in the MAGA right is having a hard time saying that? We are against political violence. Everyone has said, everyone's condemned it, just like they condemned January 6th, just like Republicans are forced to condemn every single thing that anybody does, even if it has nothing to do with them. In fact, I would argue that the group that has a hard time condemning political violence is Democrats. And a perfect example is the Summer of Love. I read a lot of think pieces and puff pieces about how looting and all of these other crimes were actually good. They were actually, you know, speaking truth to power and making a change. So I would say to Bill Kristol that it's not the MAGA right that has a hard time condemning violence. We have to do it every single day, whether it has something to do with us or not. I would say that it's actually the progressive, tolerant liberals who have a really hard time. And Matt Walsh put this really well. He said a guy showed up to Kavanaugh's house with a gun and a knife, planning to murder him and two other conservative justices. The media treated it like a minor sideshow. Meanwhile, this Pelosi story gets days of headline coverage, and we're not supposed to notice the disparity. That's the most frustrating part of the whole thing, is if you call it out, they say, that's whataboutism. That's whataboutism. No, it's called having eyeballs. It's called I wasn't asleep for the last 5 years. And by the way, if you want to go on, you know, violent political rhetoric, I have a montage up at my Twitter where you can just look at all of the different headlines about Madonna threatening to blow up the White House, Kathy Griffin holding up a bloody Trump head, Robert De Niro saying bleep Trump at the Tonys. It went on and on and on. Remember when Donald Trump's brother died and Twitter, it was trending hashtag wrong Trump? Yeah, there were some really nasty things. But I don't blame that on the Democrat Party. I don't get up here and say, wow, if something were to happen to a Republican, it can be all of the Democrats' fault for their nasty rhetoric. No, because that's cheap and it's reductive and nobody believes it. But Democrats are pushing it nonetheless. And someone who was pushing it was this guy, Ben Collins on NBC. I want you to notice here, I can't get through this whole cut. God help me, I will not be able to get through the whole thing. But I would like you to notice that Ben Collins, who, Jared, what is his title? Is he like a journalist, a reporter? The part of this I found the most noteworthy wasn't anything he was saying. He was talking about how certain details of this Paul Pelosi thing have blown up into conspiracy theories. It was more how upset he is.
Yes, he is a senior reporter.
Okay, so senior reporter Ben Collins. He sounds like he's going to cry during this cut. Can I have cut 9?
Paul Pelosi was in his underwear. Of course he was, 2:30 in the morning at the time he was attacked. That led them to believe this was a lover's quarrel between two different people that knew each other. The reason they believed they knew each other is because the police put out a statement saying that they didn't really know who opened the door. So that led them to believe there was a third person in the house. Mm-hmm. So from there, there was this world building on the pro-Trump internet. What could be the opposite of reality here? And the opposite of reality they came up with was these two people were having a lover's quarrel in a house, and the police sort of intruded on it. It's fundamentally incorrect. It was pushed by the richest man in the world. And then yesterday, it was pushed by Donald Trump Jr., who posted a picture of underwear and a hammer and said it's a Halloween costume for Paul Pelosi. If we don't cut this out right now, then not just the normalization of violence, but the idea that reality can't even exist anymore because it cannot catch up to the lies on the internet.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I will say, I don't think that posting the underwear with the hammer and stuff, I don't find that stuff funny. I know some people do. I feel bad for Paul Pelosi. He does seem like he was really injured, and I do take it very seriously. However, a lot of the things that people were questioning, and I know, you know, he's obviously going to like the far right QAnon conspiracy theories or whatever. But a lot of the questions people had about this, I thought were very, very warranted. I mean, Politico reported there was a third person. Who's the third person? We're not supposed to ask that. We're not supposed to ask where the security footage is, like how this guy got in and no alarms went off. There's a lot of questions that I don't think are that insane. And when something like this happens, there's always going to be misinformation. There's always going to be fake news. But I think we can all calm down as far as, you know, being on the verge of tears about it. I think everything's going to be fine if reporters just ask these questions and clarify for people, because people are a little bit confused how this happened. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like I said before on this show, am I going to tell people, oh no, go for it. Say whatever crazy theory you want. No, I'm not going to do that. But if someone said to me, Grace, how, you know, why was the glass broken on the outside? Like things like that. I don't consider that you wearing a tinfoil hat. I consider that you just being a normal person who has regular questions. I wish our journalists were more like that. I wish people asked those questions. And I want to play another cut here because Margaret Brennan from CBS's Face the Nation, she was interviewing Representative Tom Emmers, and she was very upset. And he, which I was very happy about, he brought up the double standard involving the Bernie bro. I won't even call him that. I'll say the crazy man who also happened to support Bernie Sanders, who shot Steve Scalise. Let's take a listen to cut 10.
I never saw anyone after Steve Scalise was shot by a Bernie Sanders
right
supporter
now,
trying to equate Democrat
now.
Rhetoric with those actions. Please don't do that.
Looking at your candidates, Republican candidates have spent more than $116 million on ads that mention Speaker Pelosi by name in this cycle.
Hey, we're talking about right now. That's code for I don't want to talk about that because you're actually pointing out that I was wrong. Right. What's the difference? There is no difference, of course. We've got a caller up here. We'll take your call in just 1 minute. But first, I want to play one more cut here. This is a montage of some Democrats spewing political violence in their rhetoric. This is cut 11.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
That's it right there, coming up.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You know, I wasn't going to play that whole thing, but it is really good. I want to give credit there. That's Cauldron Pool Media. Really good job of collecting all of those. And again, when you listen to that, all I can think of is, don't lecture me about causing violence. I will not be guilt-tripped into thinking any of this is my fault. It's not my fault for asking questions. It's not my fault for having a different opinion. That does not mean I support any sort of violence, and it doesn't mean that my listeners do either. This is just the weakest move by Democrats, and it really bugs me because they are the last people on planet Earth who should be lecturing us about civility or bringing down the temperature or, you know, sticking to ideas and not going after political figures. Tell that to the Trump family. Really, it's rich. Peggy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show. I was just thinking about this, and I remember a few years back, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, the left, everybody was clamoring for body cams on the police. Oh, you had to have them. You had to have them. Transparency, transparency. I'm sure those cops out there had body cams on. Let's see that. What is the big cover-up? What is the big problem? Like, somebody called the police. Somebody absolutely called the police. Why can't we get that information?
Yeah, and you know what, Peggy? Maybe we will. I think we are getting more information. It's definitely coming out slowly, and some of it's contradicting itself. But I hope we will. I agree. 844-500-4242. And also, the part of this that Howie was really hitting on Friday, and I think he was right on about it. See, Howie's a little bit more courageous than I am when it comes to this information. I was, like, waiting a while. But when you really look at this guy's political history, and I know people were finding recent stuff where he had some sort of manifesto online. But if you look at the political history, if we're going to play that game, that doesn't make any sense either. Because according to his ex-lover, he was aligned with her progressive views. She loves Nancy Pelosi. You know, let's let her speak for herself. This is Gypsy Tob DePape. Tob DePape. This is ABC 7 San Fran. I would like to have cut 14, please.
He came back in a really bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. He was constantly paranoid, just thinking that people are after him.
Did he have any sort of aggression towards politicians? Were his political beliefs extreme, in your opinion?
When I met him, he didn't really have... he was only 20 years old. He didn't have any experience in politics. He was very much in alignment with my beliefs. I've always been very progressive, and actually, I absolutely admire Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. So, again, I don't think it has anything to do with politics. I think San Francisco has a lot of issues pertaining to drugs and mental health, and I think it has more to do with that. And actually, there was a really good piece by Michael Schellenberger in the New York Post where he talks about that. He says, everyone's missing the story here. This has a lot more to do with mental health and drugs and what's happening in San Francisco than it does about political parties or ideology. And when we come back, I want to play a little bit of sound from the unifier in chief, Joe Biden, who couldn't wait a minute to try to pin this on ultra MAGA, mega, mega millionaire
mega,
Republicans.
MAGA.
Yeah, he didn't waste a minute. And by the way, they don't have him out there on the campaign trail a lot. They brought out Obama, and Obama was heckled because Joe Biden's reputation now precedes Obama. So Obama was being heckled with chants about Biden, and he's out there campaigning, but Biden's really nowhere to be found.
Okay, JP, we'll disagree with you on that point.
I know that
characterization.
I know that I saw a video of Joe
reality
of Joe Biden voting with his granddaughter. Another strange video. Ugh. I don't to watch those anymore. They creep me out.
I think that it was her first time voting, so I think that was the big. It was the first time his granddaughter was able to vote in an election.
Wonderful. I'm so happy for them.
Doesn't understand what he was doing with the sticker, but
yeah,
that was the point of the video.
844-500-4242. You know, when you watch the video, Jared, I'll tell you this much. That gets lost. That's how I'll say it. That gets lost in translation. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
All right, so I want to clarify something. Barack Obama was in Michigan campaigning. Because they can't send Joe Biden anywhere because no one wants to be seen with him. And I saw one of those videos where I could hear the protesters. It turns out that's a fake video, but actually I think that video makes Obama look better because in the video they're chanting something about Joe Biden. And in reality, I guess, the protesters were mad at Obama for being bloodthirsty as far as instigating or, you know, supporting the war in the Ukraine. And I actually think that that makes Obama look worse. But either way, he was heckled, and I don't think that's something Obama's very used to. I think he's used to, you know, getting the standing ovation. So that was strange. And also, just a little update here before we move on. Elon Musk, as I said, he shared that story about Paul Pelosi that has now been debunked, according to reports. And the New York Times wrote, Elon Musk, in a tweet, shares link from site known to publish fake news, false news. And Elon Musk responded to that and said, this is fake. I did not tweet out a link to the New York Times. Very good. But he should know that now some blue check marks want to look in to his application for U.S. citizenship because they're so angry about the way things are going with Twitter.
Well, that'll be $40 now.
844-500-4242. When we come back, I've got some Joe Biden sound for you. And we've got a lot more to talk about. Plus, should we have pandemic amnesty? Don't go anywhere.